Tango Tango Papa 2054, June 16, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon from Wady, Kentucky, W-A-D-D-Y. So that, in case you don't know, that is somewhat east of Louisville, Kentucky, along Interstate 64. I'm currently on my way to deliver tomorrow at noon Eastern time to a place called Caryville, Tennessee, which is kind of up north of north and west a little bit of the Knoxville area. So it has been a while since I did the last podcast. Let's take a look and see. It's been probably more than a month. Let's see. So I did it on 5/7. So, yep, today's the 16th. So it's been about a month and going on a month and a half. Maybe not quite. Well, yeah, not quite a month and a half since the last podcast. So sorry about that. I had kind of intended to record a podcast because, you know, I was home for a few days during this time and just never did get around to it. So, of course, you know, I really don't pay much attention to the news. Of course, somehow I still end up knowing kind of pretty much exactly what is going on. Let me close this curtain a little bit. There's a truck that's parked kind of nose to nose with me. And there's a sun reflecting right off of kind of the top of his cab there, just above his windshield. There, that's better. So I kind of just really avoid news stories. I don't watch, you know, the things that I might watch, you know, a little clip here and a clip there. But of course, you know, I still know what's going on. Still read a few, headlines here and there. And, you know, of course, it seems that the people say, well, the country's gone crazy. No, the country hasn't gone crazy. Certain people in the country were already crazy, and they've simply plummeted further into the bottomless pit that they were already plunging into. So, and I've warned all along that, you know, I've said over and over again, if you think it's bad now, just wait, it's going to get worse. These people have gone insane. And at some point, you know, somebody's going to have to contain them, I think. I think something, you know, something's going to have to be done to contain these people. Because, you know, now they're at the point where they have burned some things down, and there's a lot of the big city mayors and the governors that just allow it to happen, and, oh, well, don't, you know, just let them, they're having their peaceful protest or whatever. Of course, you know, there's one thing to protest, it's something else entirely to, you know, of course, you've had groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter that are very well organized, I believe paid for in part, if not in whole, by George Soros. And they were just waiting for something, you know, they'd just been lying in wait for some news story to happen. And then they, you know, and then some protest to happen, and then they can kind of come in and take over the protest and turn it into a riot. And so, you know, at least Donald Trump has designated Antifa as terrorists. And then this Black Lives Matter, you know, the whole, as I've said a long time ago, you know, the name of that is an oxymoron kind of. You know, why did they name it that? You know, because the very name kind of indicates that they don't believe it themselves. They really, I don't think, you know, the people that are, you know, and a lot of them, you know, are, you know, some of them are black, yes, but there's a lot of them that are involved in this that are, they're not black, you know, they're white kids that, you know, and I say kids, but they're, you know, a lot of them are living in mommy and daddy's basement, literally, and mommy and daddy have kind of pampered them, or, you know, a lot of them are products maybe of broken homes. They've don't have any value system. They've not, most, you know, they haven't been taught how to work. And their lives are meaningless, they're empty, so then they end up bitter, and, you know, of course the school system has taught them that, you know, the world is about to end because of, you know, this global warming or whatever crap that has been fed into their skulls full of mush, as Rush Limbaugh would call it, and, you know, they're depressed, and of course they're angry, which is, that's one of the reasons why they're depressed. Anyone that's depressed, it goes back to resentment. Resentment that has nowhere to go, and so then they try, you know, try to take it out on other people, and then if that doesn't work, then they take it out on each other. And so then you have the people, you know, and that's happened kind of over and over again. You go back to the Rodney King riots in Watts, Los Angeles, back whenever that was, I think, in the 90s. And they burned down and destroyed their own neighborhood, or hoods, you know, neighborhoods. I think it was more than one. So, you know, and then that kind of died down, but this, you know, and then of course you have the professional agitators that try to, you know, whip up the existing resentment that's already there, and, you know, get these people to, you know, kind of act out or whatever. But I think, at this point, something's going to have to be done to contain this. It's not going to get any better. If anything, it's probably going to get worse as far as, people, unless something's done to quell it. They're probably just going to, get worse. And it's not about the guy that died, you know, that George Floyd. It's not about that. They really could, you know, they could not care less about him. This is just an opportunity to take down the country. You know, the only pleasure that someone that has this kind of rage, resentment, the only pleasure that they get is destroying things. You know, making other people as miserable as they are. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If I were a dictator, we would be living in a dystopian hellhole. Because what I would do, I wouldn't put up with it. Somebody, you know, they're burning things down. I just round them up, And it's easy because they probably all got their cell phones with them. So you just get the cell phone data, find out where they were, and kind of go through it. And if they participated in the, you know, in the riot, or they were around and they didn't disperse whenever they were told to, I would just round them up and probably execute them. Get rid of them, because they're probably, I don't know, are they redeemable? I can't say. Now that's me. That's what I would do. I wouldn't put up with it. Something's going to have to be done, I think. You know, either to round them up and do something with them, or lock them up somehow, or otherwise quell the, the behavior, the misbehavior. But it's utterly ridiculous. But not all of us are crazy. There's a majority of people in the country that aren't crazy. There's a majority of people in the country that are still logical and that are working and so on and so forth. But of course, the media, so-called mainstream media, loves to just whip this hysteria up. The greatest, I really believe, the greatest danger that we, as human beings living in a society, face isn't natural disasters. It's not earthquakes. It's not tornadoes. It's not hurricanes. The biggest danger that we face is mass hysteria. And mass hysteria, the possibility of mass hysteria is really increased with broken homes. The possibility of mass hysteria is increased with the breakdown of the so-called nuclear family unit. Specifically when there are no fathers around, no responsible fathers around. So this was really predictable. There's been people that have been warning about this type of thing for years. They've been warning that, that we're facing a societal breakdown. Well, you want to know what it looks like? As I've said for a long time, go to some inner city Detroit. But now it's, the problem is now it's kind of spread to other places. And of course, it's part of it's been instigated and paid for and organized. Then you've got, primarily, I think, governors and mayors on the Democrat side, at this point, they're just ready to destroy the country because just in anything to get rid of Trump. There's just rabid Trump hatred. They just, and that really is just a symptom, because they, at the end of the day, they hate God. But they would rather see the country destroyed than Trump reelected, or the people that vote for Trump continue to dominate the society. Now, I believe that Trump will be reelected. I think that we're getting a really good taste of the opposition at this point. we're getting a really good taste of what mayors would do and governors would do, especially the left-wing ones. And I think that, you know, historically that's been shown to when there are riots that occur, you know, sort of that occur, you know, close to a major election, typically what happens, and this has not only happened in the U.S., but it's happened in other countries, what happens is that it causes people to suddenly vote for the right. The political right ends up benefiting from the left, these kind of crazy left-wing riots that happened in the U.S. in the 60s with Richard Nixon, ending up with, what was it, like 8 points, has been estimated like 8 points higher in certain cases because of the riots that happened some period of time before his re-election. And then it's also happened in other countries. So I think that even states like California may end up voting for Trump. Now, one problem, you know, once Trump is reelected, I do believe he will be, what do these crazy people do then? Unless they're contained, unless they're somehow quelled, what happens then? So it's kind of a dangerous thing that we're going through. And the problem is that it wasn't dealt with prior to this. You know, it was allowed to continue and to fester and fester and fester when it could have been contained many, many years ago if enough parents had been proper parents. This just didn't happen overnight. It's taken several generations to get to this point. Several generations of deterioration. Now, you know, I was thinking about this today. What's the solution? You know, if you think of it, because I was thinking of it in terms of, of course I'm still on this, the low-carb diet, basically no pasta, potatoes, rice, bread, anything with desserts or anything like that that are full of sugar. And, there's this thing called inflammation that we always have a certain amount of inflammation. Our bodies actually need it. We couldn't exist without some inflammation, without that inflammation process, because that's part of the immune system. If let's say you have you end up injuring yourself and you end up with some pus that comes out of a wound, and I think we've all seen that, that's part of the inflammation process. And then you have various parts of the immune system that kind of come, they're sort of alerted to the presence of the inflammation, and they, if everything's working properly, they come in and clean up the debris. So you can think of society basically as a body, and individual people as sort of like cells of the body. And it's a really good analogy. So what would you do to reduce the inflammation in society? Because in the case of your body, there are certain foods that actually, like for example, you eat beef is a good example, or other types of fatty meats that are, you know, kind of high in saturated fat, which actually saturated fat, despite what you've been told all your life, saturated fat is actually a good thing. But that has been shown to sort of suppress the inflammatory reaction. Now, what is the equivalent of that? Carrying the analogy forward to the, you know, the body, you know, society as a body. And I was thinking about that earlier, and I believe that it's basically it's the widespread adoption of genuine Christianity. So in other words, we need a revival, a real religious revival, not fake and phony, but we need something, you know, we need a revival, a real religious revival that's genuine. And hopefully that will happen. So, anyway, I've got some, I guess about 3 files, I believe, from Joel. He sent one a couple of weeks ago, and then one more recently, and then another one today. So, we'll start listening to those. So, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. This is Joel McLaughlin here.
Tom?
Tom? Sorry about that. just wanted to record a message here as I sit here at home. You know, I live near a metro area, and I have already heard what you said many times about not living in near a city. And I'm starting to agree with you. So as I sit here, because of the George Floyd thing, there is a massive protest downtown. Columbus Police Department has declared an emergency, and they're shutting down the downtown. This is the third straight day. Thursday, they busted out windows at the Ohio State House and many businesses downtown. And it's continuing. I saw pictures online where they pushed paper, you know, the big long newspaper dispensers, you know, where you buy a newspaper, they pushed them into the streets, broke windows, not just certain businesses, but it looks like all businesses, because there was I don't know if it's a gay bar or a gay restaurant or something. All I know is it had rainbow flags and stuff out in the front, so it could be a business run by a gay proprietor. Someone who you probably think would probably be on their side. I'm afraid for this country. I'm afraid this country may end up going to war over this. You know, I loved how, and this is the same group that complained when people were protesting to open the country just a week or two ago, which did not devolve into pushing paper boxes in the street, did not devolve into chucking water bottles at police officers. Yeah. I think I might start making plans to get out of Columbus. I don't know how, but I might have to do that.
Thank you, Joel. So that was Joel's first comment. There's two more. I think a lot of people are going to be leaving the cities. Part of it, you know, is this lockdown for the, you know, this, the virus situation, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. I think part of it was that, because more rural places never really, you know, life was, you know, existence was kind of easier. And, you know, even though there was, you know, kind of the same thing was going on, people weren't kind of confined to their homes the way they were in certain cities. You know, I'm sure you heard, or you maybe watched videos or whatever, or heard stories of the ridiculous excess that some places went to, you know, to kind of confine people. You know, and then you had people, the other phenomena you have is people, you know, certain people will snitch on you. You know, people snitching, which that, unfortunately, there is that aspect that happened. Certainly it happened in Nazi Germany, and it happened in communist countries. Certain it happens in North Korea right now. So it is a kind of a known behavior, the snitch behavior, and it's part of a it's a cult like behavior if you really think about it. And by the way, so is the Trump hatred. There is real, you know, kind of social currency or social value in certain circles if you kind of demonstrate your Trump hatred, you know. And then this Black Lives Matter, what they're doing, or, you know, they're, you know, it's with certain people, and it seems to be kind of like a widening circle of people, or people that have some notoriety, or businesses. They demand that, you know, if you remain silent, you're racist. You have to come out and denounce such and such. And the denouncement idea is part of, that's really part of the cult-like behavior. Virtue signaling itself is part of a cult behavior. You know, so again, I don't know, when people, you know, go beyond a certain point, you know, and is there a point of no return? You know, once you've gone, you know, mad, is there a point of no return? That is the question. That really is the question. Now, one way of kind of quelling mass hysteria we saw in Japan at the end of World War II, when the United States dropped the two nuclear bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That put, even though those bombs didn't kill nearly as many people, because they were carpet bombing before that, the Allied forces were, and the Japanese just wouldn't give up, and they were still locked in their mass hysteria. But once those two nuclear bombs were dropped, you know, that shocked the Japanese psyche, and they came to terms, and then, you know, they became our friends. And they've been Japan has been our friends ever since. So it's going to take probably, you know, one of the ways is a giant psychological shock to get people to, that are sort of lost in their madness. You have a giant, you know, some sort of giant psychological shock that shocks them out of it. Shocks them back to rationality. And actually, you know, if you look at, you know, mental illness in general, one of the treatments to this day is electroshock therapy, where they literally do shock people. Now, the earlier versions of that, they shocked them enough where they kind of went into convulsions, Well, nowadays they don't really go into convulsions. They've figured out how to, you know, refine that so that their bodies don't jerk whenever they're doing the electroshock therapy. They have another name for it now. It's like an acronym, and you have to actually look up the acronym in order to figure out, oh, it's electroshock therapy. It's like ECT or something like that. I don't remember right off the top of my head. So, yes, like electroconversion therapy or something like that. But you know, the problem is if you're in a, generally speaking, as I've often said, you know, the bad neighborhood stays put. And in normal times, but the bad neighborhood can spill out. And it probably, if mayors and governors don't, you know, if they're seen as weak and they're not doing anything to put a stop to the, to this madness, then the bad behavior will spill out. You know, and I could see, you know, if this were to be left unchecked, I could see this behavior spilling out into suburbs. You know, and maybe they come and start burning, you know, just burning down apartment buildings and setting houses on fire and, you know, overturning cars in neighbor in, you know, in more, you know, other neighborhoods apart from, you know, because I know they love to concentrate on downtown areas, but some of them have threatened, you know, we're going to come to the suburbs. Now, by the way, there was there's a video online that you could probably, if you search for it, you might be able to find it. But there was this video clip that I saw of, at least one or more Antifa people that went to northern rural California. There's this, you go north on Interstate 5. And you get up in Northern California, and there are a bunch of smaller towns, and, you know, so there's this town of Yucaipa. And so here comes Antifa, trying to start trouble there. And so basically there's a bunch of redneck guys that live in Yucaipa, and they were sort of prepared for, you know, Antifa to show up. And so they kind of rough the guy up, the Antifa guy up, and they rip most of his clothes off, and at the end they let him go. You know, but they do rough him up enough to where he wants the hell out of there. And they tell him, you know, get the hell out and don't come back. So I think that in smaller communities it's possible that the people themselves will defend their own community. As opposed to, well, we'll just let the authorities take care of it. Well, what if the authorities don't take care of it? What if the authorities won't take care of it? What if the authorities think it's to their benefit not to take care of it? As I think, you know, in the cases of some of these big city mayors, they think it's to their advantage to just let things go. You know, and then, people will get disgusted and vote for Biden or something. That, like I say, it actually works the other way. They're creating more votes for Trump than he already had. Trump's the only one that's demonstrating any leadership. You know, now I've often said, you know, I've never really had any interest in guns. Most of my relatives do. You know, they've owned guns, they have guns, they regularly shoot guns. I've just never had any interest in it. I don't have anything against guns. I'm not afraid of them. I just never have had any interest. However, I think that it's probably now is the time. It's probably time now for me to, at least get some sort of a handgun and get some sort of training and become proficient with it. Minimally proficient with it. And I think that that's something that I should do. Just as, as a matter of prudence. Personal prudence. So anyway, let's go ahead and go on to Joel's second comment. So once again, here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here from Ohio. And I'd just like to share a couple thoughts here. Been a while since I heard the show, and that's okay. I'd actually rather you do the show like you've been doing. Do it whenever you get a chance. I'd like that over what some of the radio shows turned into podcasts have done. Like Data Lash. She's a radio show first, but I do listen to her podcast form. And she will have other people come in every once in a while. Whenever she takes a vacation, and to me that's not real. I don't listen to her because of what happens when she goes on vacation. I want to listen to her, and if she's not there, I'd just rather not there not be a show. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen with shows like hers. So anyway, prime thing I'm thinking about right now is some of the craziness with both the George Floyd and Black Lives, however you say it. I'll say Black Lives Matter. And of course the COVID stuff. The main thing I'm thinking of right now is the fact that Trump was called out as a racist for scheduling his rally on June 19th, which is probably a lot of people, even some black people, primarily not known about outside of probably Texas. And it's starting to become more well known. Mostly because a few years ago here in Columbus, I actually drove past the celebration. Juneteenth happens to be the day that Texas adopted the Emancipation Proclamation. They were the last state to do that. And it's not because of anything specific to Texas or to Texans. It was just because we didn't have electronic technology back then. So that's when they finally knew about it. Trump was called a racist for that. And I'm like, I went for 40 years, didn't even know what Juneteenth was. I'm more willing to bet that Trump did not know what it was than the other things. So, but that's all I have to say about that. Although, I'll say that the downtown Columbus was utterly devastated. The buildings are still standing and stuff like that, but there's many businesses, millions of dollars worth of damage in Columbus. Not near as much as what Minneapolis went through, of course, but there's so many people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and some folks bowing or kneeling with kente cloths on and stuff. Just so much virtue signaling. Nancy Pelosi doesn't really care about you if you're black or you're white or not rich. That, you know, that's what we need to remember. No, I'm going to say yes, Black Lives Matter. But am I going to agree with the movement? Not in your life. Because to me, they are the antithesis of an equality movement. They're looking for black superiority, not black equality. Because black equality, we've had. A lot of people say we don't. But in many cases, there are programs out there that make lives easier for black people than for white people. And that's a true statement. Go look at it. The college boards give black students an edge on the SAT. Or at least they wanted to. I don't know if it actually happened. You know, and other things of that nature. So, well, I'm going to go get my first professionally done haircut here in a couple months. So I'll talk to you later. And that's actually a good reason for you to be bald. You know, I know you're bald. I know you have your own, you have a beard and all that. But I did do at least one haircut at home with my own clippers. And it was okay. Not great, though. See ya. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, thank you again, Joel. To be honest, maybe I'd heard of Juneteenth. I might have heard of the word before. I saw it, online or even mentioned just, you know, maybe a couple of days ago or something. So I had to actually look it up. And, does that make me racist because I didn't know about it? No. It was never taught in school. You know, the news media has never, ever, ever, ever mentioned that until they could, you know, try to make it a racist news story, you know, about, look how racist Trump is, because he was going to have the rally on June 19th. Well, I just checked. Now they moved it to the 20th. I don't know why, but probably for logistical reasons. You know, and it is in Tulsa, supposedly there. I also just now saw there are people that are actually 15 to 20 people are already camped out in front of, it's the BOK Center. The initials BOK, Box Center in Tulsa, where the rally is going to be held. There are already 15 or 20 people that are camping out in line to get in the venue. And the thing is still how many, you know, it's like, what is today, the 16th? So it's still 17, 18, 19, 20. So you have 4 days to go. So I think the thing is going to be massive. But I wouldn't be surprised if Trump, you know, knew about Juneteenth and, you know, initially scheduled it that way on purpose. Because there's, how many times have we thought that he did something dumb? You know, that it seemed like, well, that was kind of a dumb move, or at least it was portrayed that way in the news media. And then come to find out, Trump was right, and he was like 10 steps ahead of everyone. You know, he was about 10 steps ahead of everyone else, and it turned out that it was actually the right thing to do. And that has actually happened over and over again. So, but in any case, now it's scheduled for the 20th, and I think it's, you know, it's going to go on, and there it is. So, and my youngest brother, had kind of texted back and forth with him, and him and his wife were thinking about maybe going, but the problem, you know, with that many people showing up, it, you know, you're probably going to have a hard time getting into the place, you know, with, you know, because there's going to be probably hundreds of thousands of people that show up. You know, the greater, I think the last time I checked, the greater Tulsa area population is about 1 million, believe it or not. You know, like the metropolitan area, you know, so if, now will 800,000 people actually show up? I don't know. But there will be, you know, if you look at past, you know, recent past Trump rallies, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people show up. And since there's been all of the, you know, all, with all of the stuff that's transpired over the past week or two, I think that you're going to have that many more people that are motivated to show up and show their support for Donald Trump and for what Trump stands for. You know, because people are always saying, well, you need to speak up and you need to let your thing, you know, your views be known or whatever. And how do you do that? You know, because you know, for the average person, you know, how are you going to do that? One way you do it is that you show up, in the case of a Donald Trump rally, you show up and just your physical presence shows your support. You know, because it's, you know, it's one thing to, you know, kind of voice your opinion to your friends and relatives or whatever. Well, you know, good luck doing that on, you know, on social media, you know, for what that's worth, because you'll either get people agreeing with you or people that are, you know, some people will try to argue with you, and it's all fruitless. You don't change anyone's mind. But the people generally, you know, if you remember back in it was about March maybe of 2016, I went to there was a Trump rally in Northwest Arkansas. They held it at the, there was this big, you know, it's a kind of a great big Tyson Foods hangar at it's called XNA, it's a regional airport for Northwest Arkansas. And that's where it was held at. And I got there, I don't know, it was probably 4 or 5 hours early, and there was already quite a line. And I, you know, I stood and waited, and finally they let people in, and I was about maybe, it ended up being because of the, you know, people got in there, and we all got in kind of line fairly close together. We were, you know, I might have been 10 rows back from the very front, you know, because they were sort of spread, and I was kind of more or less in the center, but they were spread all the way to the left and the right, and this is a big rectangle, you know, giant rectangular building, so there were people that would have been even in the front, there would have been people that were on the extreme left and the extreme right, and then you had maybe I was like 10 rows back. And then, you know, the building was full. They cut the you know, they cut it off at some point because the, you know, like the fire marshals cut that off, and they said this has to be the capacity of the building. And then they had speakers, I think, outside, and you had I don't know how many people outside that couldn't get inside the building. The overflow, I guess. And then afterwards, there was a massive traffic jam, of course, getting out of there and then, you know, getting back home. You know, getting back to the interstate and then back home, that took some time. You know, so that was a rather lengthy process as well, you know, kind of in the traffic jam that was created afterwards, in the aftermath. But, you know, fortunately, you know, Trump is really the only thing that's kind of standing between us and them. And, you know, when I say them, I mean the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa types. And it's really what you're seeing is, 'cause some people have been shocked by how, you know, quote unquote popular Black Lives Matter has become. And it really shouldn't be shocking. What we're seeing is the opposition, you know, the people that you know, beyond the Trump hatred, you know, Trump is they hate Trump, and people, you know, they claim they hate him because of his personality or whatever, you know, or he's this or he's that, or the followers are this or that. But they're really God haters. At the end of the day, they hate God. That's really what it is. And so those, the people that really are, find themselves on that side, many of, you know, they're kind of on the wrong side of the equation. You know, and you can kind of think of Trump as a, you know, his sort of a lightning rod that, you know, separates the wheat from the chaff. To, you know, to kind of use a popular metaphor. But, you know, so it's the rally, you know, I'm glad that the rallies have resumed, they're resuming, and I would go myself if I had the opportunity, but at this point, they're, you know, I've been to one of them, and I really did enjoy it. I was probably maybe 20 to 30 feet from him, you know, like maybe 10 rows back, you know, and it was standing room only. There were no seats. It was all standing because we were in an aircraft hangar. So, you know, kind of standing there with thousands of other people. And I did enjoy the experience, and it was the other part of it that was nice was talking to the other people while waiting. You know, I met some really nice people. You know, some of them were from Arkansas. Some of them had a lot of them had driven in, you know, from Missouri and wherever. And so I had some nice conversations with people. So, if you get a chance to go to one of those, it's well worth it. But, of course, the left is going to scream and moan and groan, you know, that about whatever. Well, you know, let them scream and moan, let them throw their fit, whatever, who cares? So, anyhow, let's go on to Joel's third and final comment.
I've got it, Tom. I've got it. I've got the solution to systemic racism. Remove all statues.
Oh, I just saw via the social internet the place I used to work at is a college in downtown Columbus. Columbus is the key word there, where I live. And since 1988, they had a statue that was put in the center of the campus downtown of Christopher Columbus. Well, the college has decided today that they're going to remove the statue. And it's, a lot of it's come from fallout from all this stuff with George Floyd and then the guy down in Atlanta. You know, so this is the one thing that is missing from these liberals, these leftist people that have taken over this a lot of the things in this country, is they have no idea what grace is. Was Christopher Columbus a perfect individual? Absolutely not. Yeah, he brought slaves over here. Some people call him a rapist. I don't know. Yeah, I think a lot of people are confused with the Christopher Columbus is what are the actions of him versus the actions of the men that he brought with him. And I think a lot of that is the people that he brought with him. Case in point, be careful who you hang around. but to go back to that, though, would this country exist without Christopher Columbus? I'd like to think so. But I don't think we really knew what was over here until he came over here, you know, until his ship came over here. I know the Vikings were already here at some point. They visited here and went back. But it's the whole reason these people have the right to do what they're doing, to protest, is because of people they don't like. Because of people like Christopher Columbus, because of people like George Washington. George Washington owned slaves, and so did most of the people that existed back then. That was a different time period. And if we go back to judge the past by today's standards, we're gonna be disappointed every single time. But this is just more evidence that I think our country is just going down the tubes. You know, when you got people that are banning God with it, you know, one of the most awesome things that we have now in this country is something we didn't have when I was born, and that is freedom of choice. And I don't mean that we didn't really have it back then. Either we didn't have it back then, but we only had three channels, you know. Now we can choose to watch TV as it is already is. We can choose to watch stuff on Netflix. We can choose to watch stuff on Hulu or HBO Max or any number of different services. And it's so easy to not watch things that you don't want to watch. You don't like Gone with the Wind? Don't watch it. Don't ban it, but don't watch it. The fact that we have Americans in this country that think banning things actually is going to cause them to go away is ridiculous. And as much as I don't want to think about a war that might be happening, that might happen in this country, we might have one. We may have another civil war just because of this kind of stuff. That's my hope, is that the people who have been silently sitting by voting Republican or voting for whoever they thought the best person was, I hope they vote, if anybody that's incumbent, out of office. Anybody who served over 8 years in Congress should be voted out of office. Anyone. I don't care if you're a conservative or Democrat. We need to fix this thing. We need people that are unifiers, not people that are dividers. And Trump, in some cases, is a divider until you actually listen to him. So, in any event, like I said, I think it, we might be going down. It makes me sad. This is a country, the most free country that has ever existed in the world is the United States. Full stop. And I don't know for how much longer.
Thanks again, Joel. You forgot to mention YouTube. I spend a fair amount of time watching non-political things on YouTube. You know, even things that I find interesting, but that I would never engage in myself. You know, like there's these people that, and I've probably mentioned before. You know, there's this one guy that, there's a bunch of guys that repair like TVs from the 1950s and the 1960s. That's kind of strangely interesting to me. And lately I've been watching this guy that repairs stereo. He repairs a lot of stereo equipment from the 1960s, 1970s. Sort of vintage stereo equipment, and and among other things, speaker reviews, all kinds of things, and a limited amount of political stuff. But could the country kind of, excuse me, now I've got the I'm going to have to stop. I've got the hiccups. Okay, I'm back. So hopefully the hiccups are gone. So what I started to say, could the country fall apart? Yes, I guess it could. But the question is, will God allow it to fall apart? Because if this country falls apart, then the whole world falls apart. I don't know. I think maybe as a country we have to go to the very brink before we change our ways collectively. I don't know. Maybe going to the very brink is the shock that causes a lot of people to sort of sober up. I don't know. The election, the very election of Donald Trump gave me hope that, if Hillary had been elected, that would have been the end. The whole world would have gone dark and God knows what would have happened. It would be, a lot of us might be dead right now had that played out. But there is a God, and this country exists, the improbability, you know, of everything, the improbability, you know, just of us existing is mind-boggling, let alone the improbability of a country like the United States of America existing in the first place, coming into existence in the first place. That didn't just kind of happen by accident. I think it happened for a reason. And so I think that the country will survive, but at the same time, I think that we have to kind of go through a collective psychological shock. So, but, you know, this idea, well, we're going to remove statues and rename things, and that's basically, it's like the Taliban destroying the ancient, what was it, some sort of, like an ancient Buddhist symbol of some sort. I don't remember the details now. You know, and then they also, not that long ago, there were some terrorists that destroyed some ancient ruin or Roman ruins. You know, as if you can, you know, destroying the past. See, and I think psychologically, it's not about, well, we're going to destroy this because it's racist or whatever. This is psychological warfare. They think, and this is in their minds, they think that if they destroy these symbols somehow, that it's going to destroy our morale, and then somehow we're going to just not vote for Trump anymore and we'll vote for Biden or whatever. Or, you know, and we'll all want to be socialists. We'll all want to become good socialists, good communists. I think that's the thinking, you know, and they don't think, it's mostly a mob. And it's psychological warfare, and they're trying to, you know, kind of force our behavior to change, you know, and so that's, you know, at this point, that's not happening. You know, yeah, they can tear down statues or deface statues or whatever, but Trump's still going to be reelected, and I think a lot of these people should be, you know, there's all these videos that they've posted, and if they're, you know, we've got facial recognition, if they've been, if they can be identified, I think that every damn one of them that participated in vandalism should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. You know, so, but, you know, I'm not going to change I can't change my politics. They are what they are, and I'm not going to change them, and I'm not going to, you know, kind of shut up and kowtow. So, but, so we'll see what happens. You know, I've kind of, at this point, what I'm doing personally, when I'm, you know, I've been in kind of the center part of the country, you know, for the last period of time, for the most part. So now what I'm doing, I'm, you know, not only am I running the Garmin, you know, when I'm in the truck, but I'm also running Google, you know, the Google Maps. Just in case these idiots decide they're going to block a major freeway around a city or something, you know, and then I'll be prepared for it, you know, and then of course, you know, the chances of me being at the front of the line, you know, of them blocking a freeway or whatever, are pretty remote. Usually if I get stuck in some kind of traffic jam, I'm never at the front. You know, and the chances of any one person being at the front are pretty remote, the front of a traffic jam. So, you know, and that's all I can do. And then, you know, someone suggested to me, well, what happens when Trump is reelected? What are they going to do then? And so it might be a good idea for me to kind of plan my time off during the election. So I'm not out on the road whenever that happens, because he is going to be reelected. And, you know, these people are crazy. They really have lost their minds. But between now and then, we don't know what's in store. There probably will be some sort of big psychological shock that happens. There may be multiple ones. They're completely unpredictable. But that may be on the horizon, or maybe there probably will be. But there is a God. God is in charge, and whatever happens, happens. But I have faith that the existence of the United States of America is going to continue, despite what these people are, going through their temper tantrums, despite what they're trying to do, despite what they're trying to destroy. They're waging psychological warfare. And the physical destruction stuff, at some point has to, somebody's got to put a stop to that. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.
Does your life suck? Is it a living hell to be you? Do you ever wish you could just end it all? Or do you have that pesky aging parent, nagging wife, or insolent brat of a kid you wish you could just eliminate? If so, know that you are not alone. Planned Parenthood proudly announces a new business unit, Planned Parenthood Death Centers. At Planned Parenthood Death Centers, we can help you overcome life's mistakes. At Planned Parenthood Death Centers, we believe that every life should be a planned and wanted life. Planned Parenthood Death Centers, coming soon to a location near you.
All services must be prepaid in advance, cash only.